The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
It's good to see everyone. I've always loved coming to this house among this church people. I do consider it home. I've got a bunch of homes.
Yes, praise God.
This morning, Sister Deborah and I were talking, and she asked me a question about kind of where I was and how long I'd been in the ministry, things like that. And I didn't really answer her question probably the way that she wanted me to. I had to go back and give her a lot of background. And it started, before this church, but... And sometimes to know where we're at, we have to remember how we got here. How many of you in your journey of life with the Lord can say, nothing much has happened to me? I hope that's not the case. I hope you will be able to give in great detail where you started, some of the bumps in the road, and some of the grand views that you've seen.
Amen.
I pray that you're able to do that. I pray that you'll try to do that. Well, I want to, this morning, talk about us, about where we're at now. But I want to talk about the journey that it took to get there. The Apostle Paul records in Romans chapter 8, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." You know, that's where we are today.
Right. Amen. Amen.
That's where I stand and tell you that's where I'm at.
Amen.
I'm free from the law of sin and death by the law of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But to understand how we got there, we've got to go back, don't we? And I want to go back and start talking about this journey in the garden. Because if you don't understand where humanity started, how in the world could you understand where you're at now? First of all, I want us to remember, I'll try not to take up too much time with this, but there's a lot in this that we need to understand. First of all, I want you to know that God formed man from the dust of the ground after he had created everything else by the power of his voice.
Right.
And Adam, in my mind's eye, I can see Adam being formed by God, created by him as a dead and lifeless lump of dust on the ground, all organs intact, but zero life.
Right.
Zero life. When did he get that life? It was when God breathed into his nostrils his breath.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Breath of life.
There you go.
And man became a living soul. Now, let's not forget that God, in the natural creation had the power to cause a lifeless lump of dust to come alive, and it was by his breath.
That's right.
The Spirit. And so it is in our second birth.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Takes a naturally bad man, I'm getting ahead of myself, and by the same power that it took for him, that he used to create the natural life, and so he creates spiritual life in you.
That's right.
That lump of dust didn't say, God, I'm ready now for you to breathe into me, and I'll take it now. Adam, because what can a dead man do? Except stink, Brother
that's right.
Joe.
Amen.
That's what a dead man can do, is stink, and that's all.
Amen.
Now, that's crude, but it's true.
Amen.
Now, God placed Adam into the garden and gave him one law, right?
Yes.
And what was that law? He said, out of all of the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. And do you know that included the tree of life?
Right.
Do y'all ever think about that?
Mm-hmm.
That Adam, in his, he was created a naturally good man. I can't fathom that. Can you?
Uh-huh.
I can't fathom the fact that God created Adam naturally good. You know how I can't fathom that? Is because I am not naturally good. I don't know what it's like to not have a sinful thought. I don't know what it's like not to do some kind of sin daily.
Yes.
But Adam was created by God in that way. God made him, created him a naturally good man. So good that after God created him and Eve, he says he looked at all that he had made and he saw that it was good and by God's estimation, very good. God said, what I made is good. What I made is very good. A naturally good man that was able to partake of the tree of life. But I want us to remember that God created Adam uncorrupted but corruptible.
That's right. Amen.
Let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Uncorrupted but corruptible. Now, Adam, Eve was deceived by Satan, the father of lies, and he negated God's word as he always has from the beginning. He says, asked Eve, can't you eat of all the trees? She said, yeah, we can. She knew the law. She said, but we can't eat of this one. Because in the day that we eat thereof, we shall surely die. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. You see, he's opposed God from the beginning.
Amen.
And it only took one little word, didn't it?
Yes.
To oppose God. Now, she looked and saw, and I'm sure she smelt of it, and I'm sure it smelled good, it looked good, it felt good in her hands, and she thought, why not? And so she partook of that, and Adam, in my mind's eye, based on the scriptures, she gave to her husband. I imagine he was standing right there next to her. And he did eat of the fruit. And what was the ramifications of that? He died. Did he quit breathing?
Yes.
No, he didn't. What did he die to? Because God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What did Adam die to? He didn't quit breathing, did he? He died to the fellowship and closeness that he had with God before that time.
Amen.
And he began to die on that day. And that took him 900 and something years for that process to him to go through that. What were the ramifications of Adam's transgression? Let's be logical. Let's be honest. What did that do to him and us? God cast him out of the garden, didn't he? Cast him out of the garden. And he, you know, set him there and he said, here's your punishment, here's your punishment, here's your punishment. And without going into it too much, because there's a lot to think about here, God made it impossible for man to enter back into that garden and partake of the tree of life. Got it? He was, as a naturally good man, he was able to partake of that fruit. Now, as a naturally bad man, God forbade it. Amen. And he was not able to go back in and partake of that tree of life. So much so, I mean, God set that flaming sword, which turned every way, in that to keep the way of the tree of life. Did you know God only has, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, God only has two laws. If you ain't never heard of that before, just wait a little while. God only has two laws. The law of sin and death and the law of the spirit of life.
Right.
Only two laws. In that first law, he said in the day he told him that thou shalt freely eat, and he gave him the commandment. He also told him the transgression and the punishment.
Right.
In that law, he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, that's the transgression, thou shalt surely die. That's the punishment. Thou shalt surely die. The law of sin and death right there. That's it. And look at what Adam's transgression did for you. What did it do? It threw all of humanity into sin. Remember, how many men did it take for sin to enter into the world? Just one.
That's right.
Just one. It took one man for sin to enter into the world. And as a naturally bad man, what can he procreate? What can he have? What can he do after that? What can he multiply as? He can only multiply what he is, a naturally bad man.
Amen.
That's all that he can do. And it didn't take long for the punishment and the situation to rear its ugly head, did it? Because what did the first two kids do? One of them was a what God had respect to him, and the other one God didn't have respect to him. And what did he do after they brought sacrifices to God? What did he do? He got jealous and he killed his brother, didn't he? It didn't take long for sin to have a bad effect, did it? Not only were they banished from the fellowship of God that Adam enjoyed before his fall, but they started killing each other.
Yes.
Man, and we don't think that we're depraved. It didn't take long for the effects of sin to come about, did it? So let's, I want to fast forward because we can get into this a lot of time. Fast forward to the Ten Commandments, okay? I said there's only two. I still stand by that. Those Ten Commandments were just an expounding of the one commandment that he gave. And what really, let's think about this, what really was Adam's transgression? It was his disobedience to God.
Right.
His disobedience to God. That was what it was. And by one man's what? Disobedience. It didn't say because he ate of the fruit. That was the transgression. But really, in effect, at the base of it, it was just his disobedience because God told him to do something and he didn't do it.
Right.
or he did something what he told him not to do. So let's fast forward then to Moses. So God expounded and gave him 10 laws that thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and all those things. How many of y'all have kept all 10 of them? How many of you? Raise your hand if you have. Now, hopefully none of y'all committed murder, but how many of y'all have lied? What is that? It's a breaking of God's law of sin and death. It's disobedience.
Amen.
Disobedience. And then God expounded on that law more, didn't he? When he gave the Israelites the civil laws and the laws of their government and the laws of their daily lives and so much. And God is so specific about it. He's got down to looking at sores on your body to see whether it had a white hair in it or a black one.
Right. Amen.
God's serious about disobeying him, so much so that he made all those laws and got so specific about it, and that was a further expounding on the law of sin and death.
That's right.
No man. I mean, if you disobeyed God in one of those natural laws, it didn't matter. It was still disobeying God.
That's right.
That's the point. I tell you what, Paul's going to get to in the end of 7 here of Romans. He's going to talk about his struggle. And I'm telling you, the weight of bondage of that kind of law will crush a man, woman, or child. It will crush anyone who tries to keep those things because they're going to throw up their hands and say, I can't do it. Amen. You can't.
Amen.
You can't keep it. You can't. Now, the ramifications of the fall. What Adam did was in that he represented all of humanity in his transgression, and everyone died. Right? He says he fast forwards on to Abraham. He says in chapter 5, he said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, didn't it?
That's right.
Before the law was given. Why is that? Why did they die? Because they transgressed God's law, because they were procreated naturally, they were born naturally bad.
Amen.
And they were sinners. They weren't just sinners by practice, folks. They were sinners because their mama and daddy were sinners, and all they did was conceive little sinners.
Amen.
And they were sinners at conception. Now, my daughter's pregnant, and I said this not long ago. I said, that little sinner in there, she understands what that means, but a lot of folks would get kind of irritated at you.
Yeah.
If you said that little baby inside of you is a little sinner because they've got a skewed view of their journey.
Amen.
They don't understand where their start is. Their start is from conception, and from conception, we're sinners.
That's right.
Not from birth, friends. From conception, it goes back farther than our birth. And aren't you glad it does?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad it does? I'm glad it does, because God's power is not limited for somebody after they're born. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'd be so despondent over the abortion issue if I didn't think the power of God was able to save if every one of them children, before they were able to make a decision for Christ, and he saves them just like he saved a thief on the cross and
yeah.
Saul of Tarsus on the road.
Amen.
In that, you see that God's power in saving and delivering and borning again people from the before they're born of water into this earth to an unlikely, these are all unlikely subjects, aren't they?
Yeah.
Of the new birth. These are unlikely subjects, aren't they? The way that the world puts it out there, because you've got to pretty much want to love God before he'll come into you, right?
Right?
That's what they normally say. But God said it differently.
Amen.
God said, I've got power to born again a child that's still in his mother's womb in John the Baptist. What did he do? He leaped for joy at the salutation of his Lord's mother.
Amen.
Amen. Now, then Saul of Tarsus comes, and this man that while yet breathing out threatenings against the church of God, went to the people in authority and desired letters of authority to put folks just like you and me into prison. And he was on the way to do that. And I can see him on his horse with all of his comrades that were in, had the same desire to go and to put God-fearing, God-worshiping people into prison and even into death. And they're breathing out threatenings. I can't believe what they were talking about. But God struck that man down on the road, an unlikely candidate for rebirth.
Amen.
God's got power over those unlikely candidates. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then you've got the thief on the cross, don't you? He's there, and he was, if you're Bible readers and Bible studiers, you'll understand that these, both of those thieves were railing on Jesus. They said, him see, saved others. Himself he cannot save, and they cast the same in their teeth. If thou be the Christ, come down from this cross, save thyself. Have y'all ever thought about that, how strange that is? That two thieves that are crucified, I mean being actively crucified on either side of Christ, would mock him for being in the same position that they were.
Amen.
That doesn't make any sense to me. They're hanging up there. They're making fun of him for hanging on the cross, and there they are.
Amen. Yes.
Something happened to one of them.
Amen.
He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, I tell you what, have you ever wondered about the salvation of the thief on the cross? I haven't. You know why? Because I believe in the power of God.
That's right. Amen.
I never one time questioned whether God had the power to save any man.
Right.
From John the Baptist to Saul of Tarsus to the thief on the cross. You see how God took us through the whole lifespan of unlikely candidates?
Yes.
That man was on his deathbed. On his death cross, wasn't he? Inches, minutes from death. Maybe hours. I don't know. But listen to what the Lord said to him. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise.
Mm.
Well, I tell you what, that's amazing. And unlikely characters that God used to display his power from the cradle to the grave.
That's right.
Before the cradle. Got it? God's got power over every aspect, timeline of our human lives, of the whole universe that he's spoken to creation. Now, Adam's sin did a lot of things, didn't it? Brought sin into the world. And death by sin. You know how I know that death reigned from Adam to Moses? You know, this is very important. Death reigned from Adam to Moses. Why did they die? God hadn't given them a law yet to let them know that they were sinners. Because the punishment of disobeying the law of sin and death was still effective.
Right.
And they were born that way. And the Bible says they died even though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression.
That's right.
Two ways that they could not have sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Number one, they couldn't go back into the garden.
That's right.
Because they weren't born naturally good. They had not the ability to make the choice between the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the fruit of the tree of life. They had not that choice. No man that's ever been born had that choice. Only Adam and Eve. So in that way, they could not have sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression because of the banishment. And the other way that they could not have sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression is because God wouldn't let them back in. Had that flaming sword there, there's no man that could ever go back to that garden.
Amen.
No man, or woman, or child, ever able to go back to that place. Now, I told you, there's a lot of stuff in that. Do you know one of the biggest evidences that you're a sinner? Because you die.
That's right.
We die. I don't care how good a person you think you are, or your kids or grandma thinks you are, you're going to die. You're going to die. Nobody ever thinks about that, do they? That's the biggest evidence that we are sinners. It's not looking bright for us, is it?
No, sir.
It's not looking bright.
Not in ourselves.
It never looks bright when we look to ourselves, does it? Now, Paul goes on in this chapter 5, and he says, death reigned from nevertheless. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. Now this is strange language in it. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now what he's talking about is he's going to compare and contrast. There are some things that are going to happen kind of in the same manner that all men were represented by Adam in the same manner. All of those that are in Christ are going to be represented by Christ, but the effects are different.
That's right.
The effects are different.
Amen.
Now, Paul says that as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall be all be made alive. He says, and let's look at else what happened to Adam and because of the fall. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, this is verse 18 of chapter 5 Romans, therefore as by one offense, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Have y'all ever heard this? People say that there's a little good in everybody. Y'all have heard that. I know you have. Do y'all ever believe that? I've never believed that. You know why? Because even the best of us are pitiful.
Amen.
The best of us are pitiful compared to God.
That's right.
Compared to God. And that's what most folks miss. They miss that this is all about God's standard.
Amen.
Not our standard.
That's true. Amen. Amen.
Now, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You like to be made something? I don't, but I tell you what, you can't help it.
Right.
I got a big nose and big feet and a big voice and big ears too. I got them because I'm the product of Edward and Gladys Blair. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, y'all. I got a picture of my grandpa Ransom, and back when he was about 18, and it's uncanny. We could be twins. My great-grandpa Ransom. That's my mama's granddaddy. He was dead long before I ever come on the scene. and yet I look like him. I bear the characteristics of my daddy.
Right.
I've got the booming voice like he had. I've got the personality that he had. I've got the features that he had. And a lot of the personality traits that he had. But you know what? All the things, I love him, and to me he was a good man. But you know, the only thing I got from my daddy was sin and death. I love him. He's not the one that gave me the characteristics of my heavenly Father.
That's right. Amen.
Just like I look like my daddy in natural birth, so also we look like our heavenly Father in the spiritual birth.
Amen.
When we're born that way, he gives us aborns us by the Spirit, and he then gives us our spiritual characteristics so that we can look like him.
Amen.
We can have the characteristics like him. Go through Galatians chapter 5 and talk about the fruit of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, charity, and all those things. Against such there is no law. You know why? Because that's what pleases God. That's the God characteristics that you have. And when you're born again, hallelujah, you don't just add on to those things. You have all of those. They're not fruits of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit, and it's ninefold.
Amen.
It just keeps on going, doesn't it? And when we exemplify those, we are demonstrating that we're born of God.
Amen.
That we look like him and we're exhibiting his characteristics. Not just like my big nose and big ears. When you love somebody and when you have charity to somebody, you're demonstrating to everyone around that I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful thing for us to do, and it'll give you great joy to do it.
That's right.
And it'll give other people great joy for you to do it to them.
Amen.
Now, that was a rabbit that was worth chasing right there.
Amen.
He says, Paul, at the end of this thing, he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. He's talking about the offense of sin and death. That no man can keep it. No man can be obedient to God. And he says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm telling you what, that grace superabounds sin every time.
Mm-hmm.
It supersedes it. I want to tell you this, that in Adam, we all die. So in Christ, we all are made what? Alive. Say it, folks. Alive. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Why? Because this law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. And I tell you, that's God's two laws. And Paul keeps on going down here. He'll give you a little bit here and there. You know, he's talking about grace superabounding over the aboundings of sin. I like that. But let's look at what Adam, what we got from Adam. We got death from disobedience. What did we get? He said, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And I don't think that was some were and some weren't. Friends, you think about what's the word that you would describe? I would say all. But Paul says many, because it ain't a few.
Right.
It's a many were made sinners. And he says, so by the what? By the what? By the obedience of one. Obedient to what? Obedient to God.
Amen.
That he was able to be obedient to God in all things. And that's why the law of sin and death has no more dominion over him. Hallelujah. And it don't have any more dominion over you either, because he kept that one law of God. And in so doing, he kept every one of them other expounded laws that God gave. Yeah. But he was obedient first. Adam was disobedient. Jesus was obedient. By the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. I tell you what, that means right with God. Amen. That means all right. That means good enough. That means able to be housed with him in glory one day. And I tell you, that's what you got from Adam. And that's what one of the one things you got from Christ. Now, I tell you that Christ, when he came, he not only did that, but I tell you, Adam, what we got from him by his disobedience, we got sin and unrighteousness. By the obedience of one, many were made righteous. Now, Paul has almost a little parentheses in chapter 6 and 7, seems like to me. And Paul is going to describe not only his experience, but he's going to describe it for you so that you can identify with what's going on in your life. And Paul says here, in chapter 7, he says, in verse 9, he says, but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. That's a big word, isn't it? You know what that means? It means evil desire.
Right. Amen.
Why? God gave one law. What is the one thing that Adam just couldn't stand to keep from doing? Eve. He couldn't stand to stay away from that one thing God said stay away from. How many of y'all just have to drive 56 on the road?
Watch it now.
I do. And more than that. Why? Because I kind of want to see if I can get away with it. We are pitiful, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Nothing but disobedient, really. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, brought in me all manner of concupiscence or evil desire. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. What is Paul talking about? Paul's talking about I knew this law that God gave in my head.
Right.
I'd heard it all my life in my ears. But when God gave the commandment in my heart.
That's right. Amen.
I could now see what I thought I used to keep, that I had disobeyed it at every turn.
Right. Right. Amen.
And it took that and slew me. Because mm-hmm. Satan's not your friend.
Amen.
He'll kick you when you're down. I think that's Paul's describing here the struggle that only the children of God have.
Amen. Right. True that. Amen.
He's just, because you know, the children of the wicked folks and unregenerate don't have this conflict, do they?
Yes.
Only God's children have this conflict.
Right.
Now, he keeps on going and he talks about it. He said, and we know that, I'm telling you, if you have this struggle, and I'm going to tell you the struggle. If you have this struggle, you can identify with Paul and you can identify with me.
That's right.
And you can identify with each other. Paul says, was then that which is good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin, that the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Did y'all catch that? Paul's talking about the struggle that we all have. Have y'all ever wanted to do good and just couldn't seem to get it done?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Have y'all ever wanted not to do bad but couldn't seem to get it done? That's what Paul's talking about. If you got that struggle in you, rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice. Because the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Natural man don't have that conflict. Now, Paul keeps going. I mean, Paul's bearing his soul to you.
That's right.
He's telling you of his struggles. And he says, for the good that I would do, that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And he says, for I delight in the law. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is the principle of two natures. Only the child of God has two natures.
Amen.
This is serious now.
Yes.
Two natures. You not only bear the characteristics of your great, 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 great grandfather Adam, with your big nose and big feet and big ears, but you also bear God's characteristics.
Amen.
And he says, this is what hurts Paul. It's what hurts me. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. I mean, Paul just, I can see him.
Amen.
As he's writing this, falling on his knees, and raising his arms to God in supplication, saying, God, what am I going to do with this struggle? Have you ever been there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Paul's been there. I've been there. I know you've been there. If you have, rejoice.
That's right.
And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's talking about those two natures. And then he comes out with this most blessed gospel. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. How do you get in Christ Jesus? He got to put you in.
Amen.
There's no other recipe for that to happen, folks, and that's a whole nother sermon. But I've got to tell you that he says after that, and I'll just run this rabbit real quick, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's not how you get in Christ Jesus. And let me ask you a question. Well, let me tell you a story. If me and you were we're having a conversation at a restaurant somewhere, and we looked out the window and we saw two men walking down, and one of them had a blue shirt on, and I said, you see that man in the blue shirt? He's my brother. The fact that he's got a blue shirt on don't make him my brother, but he identifies to you who he is, and that's exactly what's going on right here. Them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit is a descriptor of those that are in Christ Jesus. If you see somebody walking after the Spirit, you can rest assured that they're in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We may be going in overtime.
We're here with you, man.
For the law, here it is. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. God's two laws. I want you to think with me here for just a minute. We have, there's a I'm sure. Where's the county seat in Choctaw County? Ackerman. Ackerman's county seat. There's a courthouse down there in Ackerman, and they got Ackerman laws down there, right? And then there's a state court that's a little bit higher. If some of the and these laws apply to Ackerman folks, all right? Then you've got the state of Mississippi that has laws down in Jackson. There's a courthouse down there, and if one and whatever they have over here. They go and they don't like it. They'll appeal to the state court, and they'll go to the state court and have tried, right? Let me ask you a question. If the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, why do we still die? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about why we still, if Jesus made us free, if that law of the Spirit of life, here it is. All those laws are still in effect.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
When it goes up to the court in Jackson and they can't make a decision, or it's a decision you don't like, you appeal to the higher court. It doesn't change any of them other laws starting in Aberdeen. But that Supreme Court can deliver the judgment. And what it says goes, even though you are still bound to live under the laws of Aberdeen, Mississippi.
Ackerman,
Mississippi, sorry. You're still bound to live under those laws. I don't know why I didn't say that.
That's right.
Now, I was looking at you when I said that.
That's right.
That's why, I mean, I bet that there's not too many people that have ever wondered about why we still die if Jesus put us, made the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. You know why you have to die? Because you're a sinner.
That's right.
But you know what? What really?
It's simple.
It's simple. That's exactly right. You're a sinner. But you know what? Death couldn't hold Jesus, could he?
No, sir.
Why? Because death hath no more what? Dominion over him. And you know what? You're going to die because we're still gripped with sin. But when death is done with you, it is over.
That's right.
It is over. That's why we will not die twice.
Amen.
Upon her, blessed are they that have a part in the what? First resurrection. Why? Because if they have part in that, then the second death hath no power. Amen. You know what that, I believe firmly that first resurrection is talking about that which comes when the Lord resurrects you from the dead and blesses you with the Spirit of life.
Right.
When he sends his Spirit into you, used a lot of different terms in the scriptures, born again, regenerated, new man, new birth. When that happens to you, that's really your first resurrection.
Amen.
Upon which the second, and if you are a partaker in that, the second death hath no power over you.
That's right.
You're going to die one time unless the Lord comes back, and you're going to be changed at any rate. And whatever this is not fit to be housed in glory with him. He says in 1 chapter 15, this corruptible was put on what? Uncorrupted? No. Not uncorrupted. Incorruptible.
Right.
You know the difference? Not able to be corrupted.
Amen.
In a state far better than Adam's creation. Hallelujah. Right. He was corrupt. He was uncorrupted, but corruptible. Paul says incorruptible.
Amen.
Not able to be corrupt. I can't imagine what it's like to wake up without a sinful thought.
Yes.
I can't imagine what it's like to go through 1 hour of one day without doing something that I wish I had.
Amen.
Thought some that I wish. To have pains in my body that I wish I didn't have. And I'm telling you, friends, to cry no more. You know why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made of me free of the law of sin and death.
Amen.
I pray that God helps us daily to display His characteristics.
Yes, sir.
One of those characteristics is that you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. One of those characteristics is to follow the leadership of the Spirit daily, taking up your cross. I'm sure Brother David will give an invitation. But one of the characteristics, Jesus Christ portrayed that and gave us an example, didn't
Amen.
He? When he walked 70 miles. That's a long way.
Yes, it is.
To be baptized of John in Jordan. And why did he do that? To fulfill all righteousness.
Yes.
Because it was right to do. And it was pleasing to God. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.